This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kane is in the building.
Perfect intro. The opening theme song from the HBO hit show Ballers, starring The Rock. It's a fantastic. I really like that show. I thought it would be really cheeseball, and sometimes it is, let's be honest. Trying to do a show about sports agents and players and the lives they live, some of it can be cheesy, but some of it's really good. I like a good choice, Jed Marshall.
I've never seen that show, actually. I just picked a Lil Wayne song that I like.
Yeah, that's the opening theme song, and they're going there. It's kind of like Hard Knocks type video where everything's in slow motion and that kind of stuff, but it's really cool. We're at Chiefs training camp, by the way, in St. Joe. This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Poor. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios in Kansas City. Stephen St. John is hanging out talking to the folks. Charlie Carlin is out here. And just to kind of set the scene for you one more time, and then we're going to do Jedlines. The scene in St. Joe it's a mob scene right now. It's Family Fun Day, and where we are at our end of the field where our tent is set up is 3, 4, 5 deep in different spots, because today is the day when all the players have to sign autographs, and so everybody's got their jerseys out, their footballs ready, their helmets, full-size helmets, mini helmets. I mean, it is crazy how many people are out here today, and it's awesome. I mean, the crowd is just kind of a light. You can kind of hear the buzz behind me. And I'll just give you an update on what happened on the field a couple of minutes ago. So Patrick Mahomes, again, this is not a full 11-on-11 drill they're running right now. It's the center, the quarterback, a tight end, and two or three wide receivers. So everything in the middle is kind of empty. So Patrick Mahomes drops back, kind of scrambles to his right, scrambles back to his left, can't find anybody open, and then he chucks it. I'm going to estimate end-to-end it was 45 to 50 yards in the air, but couldn't quite connect with Chris Conley in the end zone. And it was a broken play, so it wasn't that big a deal. But you could hear the hush fall over the crowd because they just want that big play so bad from Patrick Mahomes. It's great. I love it. I like watching these little kids reacting. We had just had the defensive lineman over here working out right in front of us, and they're the biggest people on planet Earth that you will ever see. And I love watching the little kids who were trying to get the fans do a great job trying to get them up to the front of the rail. And the kids' reactions to seeing these guys and how massive they are. And then Chris Jones turns around and he's hollering at the crowd to get them hyped up. But the reaction these kids have is just an awesome thing. And, Jed, I don't know if you went to training camp when you were a kid, but my dad used to take my brother and I up to camp when it was up in Liberty. And I think I mentioned this last week. I met Art Still for the first time, and he was the biggest human being I have ever seen in my entire life at that time when I was a kid.
I didn't ever get a chance to go to Chiefs training camp up in River Falls as a kid. I did get a chance one summer. I was visiting my cousins in Macomb, Illinois, which is where Western Illinois is. Proud alum Jake Gutierrez, who runs our morning show, is obviously went to school there. But the Rams, when they were in St. Louis, had their training camp up there, so I got to see... Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think who was on that squad. I think maybe Jerome Bettis. It might have been, his second year. That was pretty cool.
There you go, Jerome Bettis. It was a blast from the past.
Well, as a Ram, too, nobody thinks of him as a Ram. Everybody thinks of him as a Steeler. But, lo and behold.
Yeah. There you go. Coming up at 10:30, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, is going to join us. He's been up at training camp almost every day, and they've got a new podcast, him and Todd Palmer and Mick Schaefer at 41 Action News, called Fourth and One, so we'll talk to him about that. Josh Looney, the AD at Missouri Western, which is hosting the Chiefs once again. This is the ninth year they have hosted the Chiefs. Josh Looney's the AD, used to work for the Chiefs. We'll talk to him and maybe discuss the future of the Chiefs coming back here to St. Joe. But right now we want to play a little game we call Jedlines. We've moved it up in the show today. And this is where...
Because it's such a popular segment. Everybody has been calling for it to be earlier in the show. Or because of scheduling issues, it's up an hour earlier.
Somebody's going to tune in at 11:30 who's one of those appointment radio listeners and think, oh my God, I missed it. I'm going to have to get the podcast from the 10 o'clock hour.
That'll be all right, though. I'll let my buddy Mason know. I think he might be the only appointment listener that actually enjoys this segment.
So what we do with Jedlines is Jed Marshall will pick out some stories. They can be sports stories. They can be entertainment. They can be news. They might be funny, weird. And I don't know what they are. And then I'll just react and we'll kick it around. So, Jed, take it away.
All right. First Jedline, Brad. What do you think of Johnny Manziel? He made his debut last night for the Montreal Alouettes, and he threw four INTs in the first half and was benched.
Shocked. Just absolutely shocked. I was waiting. I think the highlights came on last night, and I turned away because I wanted to wait till I saw the box score. I didn't want my box score ruined. The Montreal Alouettes, I was trying to get to their website to get the stats because Johnny Manziel's playing. I got to know what's going on with that.
104 yards. Four INTs. On one of the INTs, he did race down the field to make the tackle, if that makes it better.
I did see the highlight of that, and what I thought immediately when I saw it is he makes a full-speed run, tackles, and goes spinning to the ground and lands on his throwing shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Okay, you're in the Canadian League. You're not that great, but you kind of need that shoulder if you're going to try to get back to the NFL. How about we don't do that?
Johnny Manziel has a lot of different things. In related news, Johnny Manziel's wife reflects on Football Gone Back, saying, quote, it was a struggle. TMZ Sports spoke with Bree, I don't know how to say her last name, Ticey, Johnny's wife, on the eve of his first career start with the Montreal Alouettes, and she admits there were some dark days on Johnny's path to sobriety. As she went on and questioned whether this day where he'd play football again, she said, quote, it was just like one of those things where it's like, are we ever going to get out of this? Like, are we ever going to pull it together? End quote. But, so that's good news. Bree's not the only one in the ex-Cleveland Browns corner, she says. He's also getting massive support from one of his friends, Jason Justice, the Drake. Oh, no, wait, that's Drake the rapper, excuse me.
Oh, okay. I wonder if Drake is rocking, a number two Alouettes jersey on the sidelines there in Montreal, because we know he likes to go to the NBA games. He switches teams a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, Drake, I don't care for his music or his antics, so I'll just leave it there.
He's a front runner, right? Like, he's not going to watch the Memphis Grizzlies, right?
No, I wouldn't think so, even though they were at one time the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Oh, that good point. I forgot that. I wonder how many kids in Montreal went out and asked their parents, can I get a Johnny Football number two Alouettes jersey? Aren't they, like, awful? They've won, like, one game or no games this year. They're an awful team.
I didn't see their records. I was watching some of the highlights this morning on SportsCenter, and obviously it was Johnny Manziel coverage from wall to wall. I appreciated that one of the corners, after he intercepted the ball, did the money hand gesture, which was nice. But, yeah, I think they lost 50-11. So not a great debut for Johnny Football. Not even Johnny Canadian Football. All right, Brad, moving forward. Do you like playing the Texas Hold'em? I know we've talked about this before.
Yeah. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy playing it.
Sure. Would you play with Charles Oakley if you saw him at a table?
I ran into Charles Oakley in Orlando at Royal Spring Training several years ago. I just can't tell you where. I don't know if I'd want to play with Charles, because if he thought you were cheating, he would flat deck you, I would think.
Well, that's ironic, because it turns out that Charles Oakley is the one who cheats, because he was caught cheating three times during a Texas Hold'em tournament, officials say. He tried to cheat three different times. Oakley was arrested at the Cosmopolitan Hotel on July 8th after officials say he cheated while gambling. They've obtained court documents which explain Oakley's alleged scheme in detail. Here's the deal. Oakley was playing the Ultimate Texas Hold'em Table Game, where both player and dealer get two cards in addition to a five-card draw. Of the seven card, the dealers and player use their best five cards to see who has the best hand. Oakley essentially started off strong with a pair of fours, but ended up losing when the dealer had two pair. When Oakley realized he was going to lose, he tried to pull back a $100 chip. He did this on two other occasions and was caught on the surveillance, and Oakley pretty much just said that, yeah, he had no excuses, and he was charged with a felony and could face up to 6 years in prison.
What city was this in?
It was in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Well, there's a couple of people. There's a couple of different kinds of people you don't want to piss off in life. You don't want to piss off mobsters. You don't want to piss off gangsters. You don't want to make big people upset. You don't want to, like Conor McGregor, you wouldn't want to make him upset.
We have Jedlines on him, too.
Yeah, and you don't want to piss off the casinos.
Well, you mentioned the mob and big people and gangsters. I just kept thinking, right, the casinos? Why would you ever do that? Has he not seen the movie Casino? Has he not seen The Godfather 2?
I know. Well, those movies where they show, like, they catch a cheater, and instead of calling the police, they take him downstairs into a dark room, and it gets pretty serious, if you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
And from what I hear, those stories are not made up. Those things do happen. So I would tell Charles, yeah, let's not be screwing with the casinos, all right? I know you're big, and you probably got a lot of money, but let's not be doing that. That's a bad idea, Gene.
He made $46 million throughout his playing career.
How much do you think he has left?
Not much if he's trying to take back $100 and $125 bets.
That's not a good life plan, Chuck.
To try and save a few hundred dollars, you're like, yeah, it's worth 6 years in prison.
I think he was going to get caught? You reach for a hundo. Somebody's going to see that.
In a casino where they have cameras everywhere. It's the most ludicrous thing of all time. But I guess this is like Dave Chappelle's When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Yeah.
Charles Oakley, living example. All right, next headline. Nike has elected not to renew its deal with Jameis Winston. What do you make of that?
Nike has done this before. Apparel companies have done this before with athletes who get in trouble or coaches that get in trouble. Urban Meyer just lost his deal with Bob Evans Restaurants, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm all about, I mean, a company's got to protect its corporate image. When Tiger Woods got in all that trouble several years ago, he lost a ton of endorsements.
Yeah, almost all of them.
I think Nike stood with him. Maybe not as, probably didn't have his posters up in golf stores all over the world, but Nike stayed with him, but he lost a lot of endorsements. Look, that's the way it is today. Companies do not like to look bad, and Bob Evans had just signed that deal with Urban Meyer like a couple of weeks ago, and it's done. So, yeah, corporate America does not like to look bad and have your name written on it. So I'm all about that. Jameis has got to – you got to figure it out. This costs you money. And think about his next contract negotiation. They go in there and say, hey, we don't know if you're going to screw up again. You've screwed up in college. You've screwed up as a pro. We're not giving you $70 million guaranteed.
He's also not that great of a – I mean, he's a fine quarterback, but he's not a game-changing quarterback. I think Tampa Bay would be wise to let him play out the string, see if he matures as a person. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. I would not be giving that guy 70, 80, 90, I mean, 120, who knows, with quarterback salaries now. Because of his track record, he's had an issue almost every year. It hasn't just been, an incident in college. It was like freshman year at college, sophomore year at college, first year in the NFL, second year in the NFL. So it's not something that's getting better. He's clearly not learning from his mistakes.
Well, they could let Jameis Winston go and then bring in Johnny Manziel, bring him back from Canada.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want that after his sterling performance? Brad, next headline, speaking of things costing you money. We're talking about Jameis Winston. Blake Griffin is now paying only $32,000 per month in child support. What do you make of that?
And didn't somebody ran the numbers? Isn't that like $3 million a year? Something like $2.5 million a year?
It works out to $384,000 per year. But initial reports came out that he was paying $258,000 per month in child support. But it is reported now that figure was wrong. And the mother of his two children, Bryn Cameron, is only getting, a meager $32,000 to take care of the kids, which adds up to nearly $400,000.
Well, I read a lot about this, and I've always had the reaction that it doesn't cost that much to raise a child. But when I read it, here's the thing. I mean, Blake Griffin's worth tens of millions of dollars.
He just signed a 5-year, $171 million deal.
So do you want your kid? Think about this, if you're the dad paying child support, do you want your kids to come and live with you in your mansion and then go back and live with their mom in some rundown apartment? You want them to live kind of a similar lifestyle in both places, right? I would think, if I had that much money. And this is she getting child support from Matt Leinart too?
I don't know. I don't have any reports on that. No Jed Line.
I believe she has a child with Matt Leinart.
Wow. Some people call those cleat chasers. I don't know.
Some people might.
At least that's what my buddy called him when he was playing college baseball.
I've always heard the term jersey chasers.
He played baseball, cleat chasers. Okay. All right, next headline, Brad.
Okay.
Do you know who Vikings player Andrew Sendejo is and why he might be in the news.
I don't know.
He was spotted wearing a very Donald Trump-inspired hat that says, "Make football violent again," in reaction to the new rule about lowering your head. What do you make of that?
Oh, I guess guys are going to make their point. I think the thing about the new rule is it's gone a little bit too far. Maybe that's the point he's trying to make. I don't think that if your head drops during the natural course of a play and you're not purposely spearing somebody or, you know, drilling them headfirst into the chest or targeting, then that kind of stuff happens. And I don't think we should be throwing, I mean, I get it. Let's protect the players. Let's protect their health. But I think this rule has gone too far. And I think the players are going to lash out. And there's a symbol of it. I don't say I support it. I don't say I'm against it. But players are going to speak out about this. They don't like it.
I agree with you. And, I mean, it's such a tricky rule. We've had so many different guests talking about this. You know, we had Jason Lisk and Matt Verderam and Matt Derrick all this week on Sportsnet. If you missed any of that, you can obviously catch it at 810WHB or on the app on the podcast page. But it's such a hard rule to enforce. I certainly get the guy's spirit of wanting to protect the integrity of the game. But to say make football violent again, I think shows an ignorance in the point that you're trying to make. Because you're the point, football's not trying to do a bad thing. They're trying to make the game safer. They're not trying to end football. They're not trying to take away the spirit of football. It's a weird, tricky gray area that the NFL somehow finds themselves in all the time, even though they're the most powerful sports organization in the world. Maybe the NBA will overtake them shortly, but...
And this is a defensive player, right?
Yes.
That's what's going to happen, because the defensive players already feel like the rules are set against him, with, you know, especially the corners. You can't hand fight all the way down the field. The 5-yard chuck rule and defenseless receiver. The defensive players already feel like the rules are set against them, and this is another one. Because, say, look, we talked about it last week. Say you're 3rd and 8 at the 36-yard line, and you have a play that a receiver drops, but somebody lowered a head, they get an automatic first down, and they go down and score and win a game. That's what defensive players are thinking about. That's what they're worried about. So I get it. Maybe the bad choice of words, but I get the sentiment.
I do too, I guess. But I still think it's a poor choice of words. More NFL news next, Jedline. Okay. Brad, you heard about Colin Kaepernick's name not being included in the YG song Big Bank on the newest edition of Madden. Didn't you?
I heard that it got, like, edited out.
Yes, it was edited out, and EA is taking the blame, and it was all a unfortunate misunderstanding. But now his name is back in the game, and Madden has issued an apology. If that wasn't enough, Al Sharpton questions EA Sports' apology, saying, quote, "I'm very suspect," also saying, quote, "I'm questioning their intentions."
Oh, boy, I got to be careful on this one. There are people who are willing to exploit any situation in order to extract money from big corporations. EA Sports did, if they purposely edited out Colin Kaepernick's name out of the song, that was wrong. If it was done on purpose, I don't know how it would get into a video game unless it was done on purpose. Somebody had to take his name out of the song. It wouldn't just, I don't think it's produced anywhere without it. So EA Sports probably had someone in PR somewhere who made a bonehead decision to edit his name out, and then after the backlash, they put it back in. To me, that's a done deal. What Al Sharpton wants to do is take it further, and I'm going to leave it there.
I'd agree with you. Everybody has an agenda to push in this issue. I do feel bad for Colin Kaepernick and the way that the situation's unfolded. He's being made into a martyr for something that he believed in, and I feel like unfairly is being blackballed from the NFL, but I'll leave it at that. Next, Jedline, Brad, I know you love the UFC. There's some huge UFC fight tonight on pay-per-view between two guys who look like they could beat my ass, but that is not the Jedline. Conor McGregor, back in the news. One, he will not be punished for the bus attack, even though he should have been and faced charges, but that's not the big news. Conor McGregor is back in the UFC, says Dana White, and he is scheduled to fight on October 6th in UFC 229 in Las Vegas. Brad, are you going to be tuning in for that?
I don't do pay-per-views very often. I got burned a lot by the boxing game several years ago. You'd see, like, remember when Ricky Hatton was kind of a thing?
I do. Irishman.
And he was, who was he fighting? Was it? It wasn't Mayweather, was it?
They're
the same. Stephen St. John is screaming at the radio right now. He just walked out. I know he's screaming because I don't know, but like Ricky Hatton, they
Mickey Ward, maybe.
No, it wasn't that.
Doesn't matter.
They built up this fight for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and then he got his ass kicked in like the first round, and I'd already spent the $50-$60, whatever it is, because I had a discount at the time, and it happened like three or four times, and I finally just told myself no, just resist the urge to pay for it, because they always replay those things, at least the boxing matches. I don't know if UFC gets replayed anywhere.
It does. It gets replayed on Fox Sports 1 normally. I'm not sure what the turnaround is, but I know that they talk about how this is, I mean, if you watch that or if you have the Fox Sports Go app, you can pull up like UFC 205. It seems like they have one every 2 weeks, so I'm not sure what the turnaround is, but probably like a month later.
I'm sure he'll make a boatload of money. I'm sure UFC will make a boatload of money with the comeback since he's been out. I'll bet he's happy he won his court case because, well, he didn't win his court case. He made a deal, right? So there was potential.
Yeah, he made a plea bargain. That was a deadline a few weeks ago.
There was potential that he could be deported back to Ireland. And then the story came out that if he went back to Ireland, his life might be in danger because he might be in with some Irish mobsters.
Yeah, like Conall McCourt.
Yeah, exactly. Conall. Look at when Conall walks in the building. I was kind of looking over his shoulder to see if there's somebody behind him.
I'm a little leery of Conall also. That guy's trouble. All right, Brad, next Jedline. Do you know who Glenn Jacobs is? Because he's a mayor.
Oh, is this the wrestler who became a mayor?
It is. Glenn Jacobs, better known as Wrestler Kane, is getting an endorsement from Mick Foley, better known as Mankind, saying, quote, he'll be a great mayor. WWE legend Mick Foley says he couldn't be more proud of his good friend Kane for becoming the next mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, saying, I think he'll do a great job. Foley campaigned for Kane, real name Glenn Jacobs, touting his friend's lifelong interest in politics and the fact that he's a super smart dude in real life. So when Kane won the election this week, Foley wanted to assure the people of Knox County they were all getting a winner, saying, quote, he's a very wise man and caring person, and I think he'll do a great job in Knox County, end quote.
I wonder how big Knox County is. Did he grow up there or something, maybe?
I have no idea, presumably.
Well, good for him. I mean, these guys, we see too many times, we see wrestlers' careers and lives end in tragedy. Just horrific tragedy at young ages because of the rampant steroid abuse and drug abuse and things like that. So he's moved on with his life. And he's a mayor. I think that's great. I think that's a great story.
I
saw the pictures of him during his career with the big mask on mm-hmm. and all that. And I would think, oh, scary dude. But you see him talking to the folks, and they obviously trust him. So good story. Good for him. I like that.
Absolutely. And he's the Undertaker's brother, so you really need to be on his good side. Oh, yeah. You don't remember that plot twist, Brad? You weren't into the WWE at that point?
No, I watched WWF growing up before they had to change their name. So I was like Hulk Hogan and Junkyard Dog and Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Sure, Ultimate Warrior and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right, last Jedline. We've actually kept them pretty much all on sports. Did you hear about what happened with rookie safety for the LA Chargers, Derwin James?
I did not.
Derwin James speaks out on the fact that he was robbed at gunpoint, saying, quote,
yes.
I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. L.A. Chargers rookie safety Derwin James is finally talking about the night he was robbed at gunpoint in Hollywood, saying, quote, I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. TMZ Sports broke the story. The 22-year-old, a first-round pick in the 2018 draft, was leaving an Italian restaurant on June 23rd when he was approached by two men who demanded his jewelry. The assailants snatched a chain from Derwin's neck and stole his Rolex, and then slashed the tires on his Rolls-Royce before fleeing the scene. On Thursday, James told the media, quote, I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. It happened. It's just one of those things that you never expect to happen, but it happened, and I'm just happy to be out here playing football, end quote. James was not harmed during the incident, and police are still searching for the suspects. No arrests have been made. I will say this if I'm Derwin James' agent. Maybe slow down on the spending.
Yeah, and I heard that He was going to attempt to chase them in his car, and that's when he found out the tires were slashed.
On his Rolls-Royce, which are like $400,000 cars.
That would be a bad idea. If you already know the people who robbed you are armed, going after them is a really bad idea. This is what Herman Edwards, you know, he does the rookie symposium for the NFL.
Yeah.
He gives out life advice and things like that. What he always told us is, he tells these guys when he talks about gun violence and things, he goes, look, you got a massive watch on your wrist. Can you buy another one? Yes. How about your car? Can you buy another car? Yes. Somebody breaks into your house, can you buy another TV? Yes. If you're in a robbery situation, give them whatever they want. Nothing. You get one life. That's it. You can buy another watch. You can buy another car. You can buy another wristwatch. Can't buy another life.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Things can all be replaced. Life is one of a kind. Anyways, we have more stuff, but we'll save those for tomorrow. Those are Jedlines.
Okay. We got a lot more coming up here. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. We are broadcasting right from the side of the field. It's Family Fun Day. The crowds are massive. And by the way, there's a security guy out here who looks like Eric Hosmer. I may have to snap a picture of him. That's hilarious. I like
Is it Hosmer?
Pictures.
Because he's certainly been disappearing in San Diego. Hey-o!
Sing! You're correct, sir. Now, this guy looks like Hosmer, I swear to God. I like to take pictures of people who kind of look like famous people. So maybe I'll try to get a picture and put it up on Twitter. I'll ask him first. I don't want to embarrass the kid. So anyway, coming up next, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, is going to join us. He's been covering Chiefs training camp for the last couple of weeks. Also got the new podcast, 4th and 1. So that is next. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Josh Looney will join us. He's the AD here at Missouri Western. Used to work for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll get some good stuff with Josh Looney. He's a good Kansas City kid. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in St. Joe. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. So right now, the Chiefs, just to set the scene for you, they're going through kickoff and kick return drills right now. So usually when they do the special teams, and we've been here for a couple hours, this is kind of a signal that practice is just about over. Didn't see many fireworks today. Joining us now out here at the 810 tent is our good friend Nick Jacobs, who's been up here for almost every day the last 2 weeks, right?
Unfortunately, this is only my fourth day.
Fourth day,
but you know, it feels like that.
Did you feel it's family fun day out here
mm-hmm.
today?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 3, 4, 5 deep at the fence line because every player has to sign autographs today. The stands are packed. There's fans who are struggling just to get a glimpse of what's going on the field. I can't imagine what the Patrick Mahomes crowd is going to be like. He's got a sign today.
I don't envy that. He just might as well start at that far corner of the end zone over there and then just work his way all around for about the next 5 hours.
I was going to say, I feel bad because there's going to be several people who are going to go home disappointed, but that, I mean, he can't stand out. As you said, he probably could stand out here for 5 hours. That's how many people are out here.
Yeah, exactly. This is, like I was telling some people up in the media tent, this is like the equivalent of a night practice in terms of crowd.
Absolutely, it is.
Haley had it.
Yeah.
Because whenever I was trying to get in here, it was there was a lot of cars. They were parking over on the west parking lot, which is a great sign that
right. They
probably may it'll hit pretty good numbers today.
Here's your hot tip. Since I stay at the Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center, thanks to our friends at WHB, I come down a back road. So if you go past the main exit for St. Joe and down to exit 47 and then come back through the back way, almost no traffic.
That's great. And there's also a Gambino's Pizza over here. A couple blocks away.
How about that? They hit the lunch table here.
Yeah.
All right, so the crowd today really wanted to see Patrick Mahomes air it out. I mean, that's what everybody wants to see. And I saw it in the last drill. I saw him he was scrambling, couldn't find anybody open, just kind of chucked it 45, 50 yards and missed Chris Conley. But it was just kind of a hope and a prayer. But not a lot of fireworks today, but I think the fans got to see a little bit of what they wanted to see.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like you said, I know he had a deep post to Tyreek earlier that
yes,
he connected on.
That. Yeah.
And then, like you said, he had one that he tried to throw Conley and a couple other players. So, yeah, it's not the aired out Hail Mary every single play of vertical offense that everybody right. was
He doesn't throw it 50 yards every
yeah,
play.
Exactly. Did some checkdowns, and those were just as successful as some of the other ones. I mean, he had a little bit of an inconsistent day today with his accuracy. He had the interception with Eric Berry and 7-on-7 over the middle. But collectively...
another interception.
I know, right?
Oh, no!
In non-game situation?
Oh, no.
Oh my. So, unfortunately, you know, he had some ups and downs. But
right.
That's the growing pains of dealing with a quarterback that you have to go through with. Because Alex went through that in San Francisco.
Right.
We get to experience it here. And the last time we truly experienced that was Brody Croyle, maybe?
Oh, boy.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
That was hard knocks time back then.
It's been a day and a half.
Yeah.
It's obvious that his new best friend is Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If there's any problem whatsoever, or if the play is designed for Travis Kelce, he's been the most reliable guy for Patrick Mahomes II.
Right, and just like the Vanilla Ice song, if there's a problem, Travis Kelce will
yeah.
solve it. You know?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking of
Perfect.
When I heard you say that.
Perfect.
I was like, is he making a Vanilla Ice reference there?
Nailed it.
Like you said, yeah, Kelsey's his number one security blanket, and then I'd say Kareem Hunt and Damian Williams are number right. two and number three.
I am so impressed with Damian Williams. I had not seen him play a lot in the NFL. I remember from college.
Right.
But he is... fantastic.
Right.
I think the Chiefs got a steal. I mean, if I hope Kareem Hunt stays healthy all year, but if they want to, you know, if they need to spell him, Damian Williams, I saw him lining up mm-hmm. in the slot or in the flat.
Right.
I think the Chiefs got a steal with Damian Williams.
Yeah, Damian Williams fits the Chiefs scheme a lot better than it did Adam Gase down in Miami there, because he excels at a shotgun, like we've talked about before with Larry Johnson when he was talking about the difference between being under center running back and a shotgun running back. Damian excels out of shotgun, really comfortable running out of that, and has the vision to read through those holes, which is a whole different ball game compared to being under center. And then also he excels catching out of the backfield, which with what Mahomes is going to do and how much he'll be in shotgun to help give him that comfort level from Texas Tech, that is why they went out and got him, because he fits their scheme and their system and what they're trying to do with him. And also, he's really good in blitz pickup, which is going to be crucial if you're going to be out there on those pass catching downs.
I would think a guy with enough veteran experience like a Damian Williams could come in here and fit in pretty easy and digest the playbook pretty easy. I mean, nothing's easy about an NFL playbook,
right.
But he seems like the guy that would be pretty quick to get a firm grasp of it and know his assignments.
Yeah, and that's he's been encouraging out there so far. I've liked what I've seen from him. And my biggest question coming in when I was coming up here to camp was, what can he do blitz pickup wise? That's
always the big, in the NFL
roster or not.
If you cannot do blitz pickup mm-hmm. in the National Football League, you will not last.
Right. And Damian Williams answered that call last week, and he did it again today, and so did Kerwin Williams. And between those two, they've got a ton of promise at running back. This is probably my favorite running back group that they've had while Andy Reid's been there.
By the way, if you heard that pop in the background, yes, I ducked, but it was only a balloon.
Yeah, a balloon right
there
in the corner.
A kid's balloon, but yep. I flinched.
Hey, you know what? It happens.
I was at a high school football game a couple of years ago doing play-by-play.
Yeah, you and Dion.
Me and Dion Clisso, uh-huh. And we were down on the field, and all of a sudden, pop, 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 and we hit the deck.
Yeah, that one was actual gunshots.
And I don't mean to make light of it, considering what's happened the last 3 and 4 days in Kansas City, which has been awful, the number of shootings and murders, but it's a very real thing when you hear it for the first time up that close. I know your dad is a police officer. He's been around it. I'm sure you've been to the range with him or something, but, man, when you hear that just pop, 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 you just hit the deck. That's scary.
You just got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah,
just like
absolutely.
Football.
We're up at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. We're talking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, who's got the new podcast, 4th and 1, with Todd Palmer, formerly of the Kansas City Star, Mick Schaefer, formerly of Metro Sports, who's now the sports director over there. A couple of episodes in now?
Yeah, it's going to be Sunday. It'll be the third one.
Third? How do you like it? I mean, have you done podcasting before?
Yeah.
A little bit here? You've been a guest star mostly, right?
Yeah,
this
guest.
This is kind of your
guest
baby?
Analyst. Well, I mean, it's a...
A joint venture?
Yeah, it's 41 decided to go down this avenue and explore this opportunity, and I think there's a great market for it.
Right.
I think it'll be a great thing.
Well, I listen to podcasts more and more, especially if, you know, taking my dog for a walk or I'm in an airport or things like that. I think they've become more and more popular. And if you can do it really well, you get a very loyal audience built up that comes back over and over and over.
Right, just like at 810, the loyal audience here as well.
Absolutely. So we're 2 weeks into camp now. We're not making any roster decisions yet.
I will in the article this week, but yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. A version 1.0.
But I'm a little concerned at all the injuries, and I have to look at the list because a lot of guys sat out today. Anthony Hitchens, Reggie Ragland, that is starting to bother me a lot. Charkandrick West is in concussion. Eric Fisher, this is 2 days now or a day and a half. Derek Nnadi, Cam Irving, a day and a half. Marcus Kemp. We're getting about a week or two away where if you can't go and you're a down roster guy, you're going to be gone.
It's going to be tough sledding for some of those guys, especially Kemp and Charkandrick West,
right,
if they don't get back out on the field by that second preseason game. The saving grace for them, obviously, is that they don't cut people until after the fourth preseason game. So you still have that time and that luxury, but you really want to give them as much as you can reps-wise on film, especially in the upcoming preseason game, to show them that you're what they need on this roster.
Yeah, and if Brett Veach is out there, I'm sure he's been talking to agents and guys who are still not signed, and if they sign another guy and you're the guy that's always hurt, you'll be replaced.
Yeah, he's definitely keeping tabs on some players right now.
Absolutely. So early in camp, I guess broad strokes, we talked about Patrick Mahomes the second. I guess the backup quarterback we all assume is going to be Chad Henne.
It's appearing that way. Yeah.
I don't think Matt McGloin has shown that he's five steps ahead of Chad Henne. I'm not sure it matters, but Henne's the 10-11-year veteran. Mm-hmm. McGloin's been in 5 years. So I guess maybe Chase Litton, is there a chance for him to either be a third-string guy, a practice squad player, or come up with the mysterious Tyler Bray, I'm injured on the last day of camp, I'll keep him on IR for the season?
Well, I'd say with Litton, if you'd asked me last week, I would have said practice squad is where he would have been. The fact that they let him work with the threes today and the fact that he showed better authority when throwing the football, he had better zip on it that he didn't have last week. It was good to see that progress. So I'm curious to see what type of progress he has in the first preseason game against the Titans to see if he can take the next step. Because for him, I can tell he's overwhelmed by the speed of the game.
Absolutely, he is.
And his reads. And then he didn't feel comfortable with that. So then that's hurrying up his footwork and hurrying up where he's going to throw it and getting that launch point correct with throwing the ball. So all those things combined, I could tell it was overwhelming for him. It looks a little less overwhelming this week because size-wise, he's everything you want in a quarterback.
Right.
It's just a matter of him getting that comfort level, which it appears he's starting to get to. So I'm excited to see him in a game situation.
A very different rookie look from what we saw from Patrick Mahomes the second last year, because Chase Litton, nothing against Marshall, but
right,
that's a different level.
Right.
Definitely you can tell that he's a deer in the headlights right now. So that's the way it is.
Right.
The last time I talked to you, I felt bad because we let you go without talking offensive line, which I know is your passion in life. We're talking with Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. So let's talk offensive line.
Yeah.
Eric Fisher gets dinged up on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's his shoulder, and he's had issues with that before. Cam Irving tweaked his knee on Thursday. Neither one of those players practiced today. And I saw your tweet. Andrew Wiley was playing left tackle, and Brian Wietzman was playing left guard.
Mm-hmm.
Are those players qualified to step up in a regular season and keep the Chiefs offense humming the way we think it is going to?
I would say with Brian Wiseman, you have he played last year left
right
guard,
he played
so
a lot
they had that comfort level with him. I personally would love for him to be the backup right tackle. I think that's I just want him to get reps at that and be able to move in at the tackle spot, because that's where he originally came from when he was down with the Dallas Cowboys. So I was hoping they would kind of keep him there, let him learn that, let him be comfortable with that. But they're big on finding guys that can be versatile, that can play guard, can play tackle, can play four different spots.
Cam Irving plays all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Cam Irving has to literally learn all those. And I was hoping that they would kind of keep him there, but they've had to move him around. So he's a guard last year, still a guard now. He's capable of playing in the NFL. Just give him a spot to get comfortable with. Wiley had some struggles in one-on-one today with some of the pass rushes. There was a time or two he dropped his head whenever they were doing a rush move on him, and so they did a swim and got around him, or took a little club and dip under and got around him. But I think this is going to be the big question that they have, because they were playing Parker Anger at right tackle today, because they realized, well, with Cam Irving down, we need to find another guy that can play guard tackle right now. So then Parker Anger was at right tackle when he's an awesome left guard or potential right guard if you need him to be. And so they're trying to find who can back up between Fisher and Irving, and they're trying to give him reps right now.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. If there's an injury, you got to take advantage of it. If you get an opportunity, right. And Parker Anger has not been able to crack the starting lineup. When he got hurt last year, he sat out, missed a lot of games. Then when he came back and he was supposedly healthy, he didn't play. He's got to find a spot to take an advantage of an opportunity.
And in my book, he's their best offensive lineman. He's got the quickest feet. And our buddy Richard Baldinger was up there.
I saw Baldy, yeah.
Marveling at him and his footwork. And just Baldy felt that he's much stronger than what he was last year. So I'm curious to see what they do with him, because I really want to see him starting, because when he's out there, he plays with such a nastiness that just rubs off on that offensive line in a great way, and he's a big asset to Fisher at left tackle when he's out there with him.
By the way, the folks who know Richard Baldinger, Baldy, the former Chiefs offensive lineman, when he comes back off the road and doesn't have a chance to comb his hair or get dressed, his look is disheveled. He had a T-shirt on that's huge because he's a big man. Hair was all wild and flowing. That's Baldy, though.
Hey, Baldy.
Love Baldy.
Hey, Baldy's a great man to have around.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. They're just about ready to wrap it up. In fact, they're calling in the full squad for the final huddle, and then it will be autograph time.
You going to go get a couple autographs?
I am not. I had my boys up here last week.
Yeah.
I sent them far away somewhere, and they ended up, my youngest came back with his jersey with about 15 signatures on it.
Outstanding work there.
Absolutely. I didn't give him any tips. I said, you're on your own, because I don't want to be, a media guy over there throwing his kids up in the front row. I made him go far away and figure it out. So, but it's, there's a few thousand people out here today, right?
There's definitely that. I'll be curious if the number's somewhere probably. I would be surprised if it's under 3,500, and I'm assuming it'd be somewhere between 3,500 to 5,000, somewhere around there. I'm not good at crowd estimates.
Right.
Like when they had the jar full of candy and you had
to guess. Oh, God, no,
I was
not
terrible
even close
at that, and this is the equivalent of that for me.
Right. Well, the players are breaking up now, and every player today has to sign autographs. This is Family Fun Day, so every player has to sign autographs. I don't know where Patrick Mahomes is going to be, but just follow the biggest crowd.
We will have a Pat Mahomes watch.
Watch. We'll let you know. If you're down here, if you're listening on your Walkman, I'll throw it out there, show my age.
If you're listening on the app, he's headed towards the east end right now by the field goal.
Not yet.
Oh,
is that where he's going?
Me out. Well, they look like they're going to the east there.
We'll give you an update here. By the way, that's the voice of Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. They have the new podcast, 4th and 1. So on the we talked offense line. Chris Jones has been. I'm going to ask you about his performance, because fan wise, he's the all star of camp.
Yeah.
He signs autographs every day, and during practice, he shouts to the people, "Come on, get hyped!" And he's coming down the walkway and he's fist bumping all the kids. He's just great. I'm just a fun loving guy. But performance wise, I think the Chiefs are expecting him to step it up even more this year and maybe be like a Pro Bowl type of guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say with what I've seen from Chris Jones out here after he came back from his knee injury, which he had at the end of that Titans game, or middle of the Titans game, whatever you end up, end of the season, either way. With him, he looks a little bit slimmer, and he looks a little bit quicker out there. His pass rushing moves, his swim moves, everything combined looks fantastic. And the biggest thing is when they're running team earlier today, and he was going against Schwartz, and then he stepped out in the passing lane when they were doing the flats pass to Williams. Mahomes was, and then Jones leaped up, smacked it down, and then he almost caught it. But since he's a defensive lineman, he didn't really work on those those pass catching drills.
Didn't work out
so
well
for him. That didn't work out well. But he made an athletic play, phenomenal play, and Mahomes had to learn. Mahomes had to learn that you're gonna have to get that up a little bit higher when you're facing the caliber of Chris Jones. So, yeah, Jones shined today.
All right, we're coming up on a break here. Can you stay for a few more minutes?
Because
I really want to ask you about Xavier Williams, the kid from Grandview High School.
Yeah, Grandview High School
in Kansas City. And I want to talk to you about him and see how well he's doing. So on that note, we'll take a quick timeout. Our Chiefs training camp coverage from St. Joe is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Nick Jacobs, our guest. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Excellent musical choices today by Jed Marshall. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Riley House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. We're joined by Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. They also have the new podcast, 4th and 1. Autograph signing has begun here at Family Fun Day. And Josh Looney, the AD here at Missouri Western, is going to join us in the next hour. He said they were not expecting this many people. I'm telling you, it's absolutely jammed. It's I don't say it's chaos. Everybody's well-behaved, but
yeah,
it's a mob scene.
I'm just saying if they have it where you're having to park over in the West parking lot,
right,
then you know you got a massive crowd.
Right, and the quarterbacks are still on the field going through drills, so the Mahomes rush has not started yet.
But we do have DeMarcus Robinson and Tyreek Hill nearby.
There we go. The wide receivers have been coming down to this corner every day, and they've been great almost every day. All right, I was going to ask you in the last segment, we were talking defensive line, and I wanted to ask you about Xavier Williams because he's a Kansas City kid. He's been with the Arizona Cardinals the last 3 years, and he's so excited to come back and play for his hometown team. But give me the scoop. How good is he?
Xavier, I see him as a rotational guy. I think he's got some good pass rush ability. I think he can help in their nickel and dime situations. For me personally, I think he can hold the line of scrimmage, but compared to Derek Nnadi, Nnadi's a strong individual that can maintain the line
today,
of scrimmage.
Nnadi did, with
the elbow injury, so I'm hoping he gets back soon. Well, definitely by the start of the season. I'm hoping for that. Because, he's going to be huge in run support. And then I think Xavier can come in, get some snaps, give that rest, keep that freshness, and be kind of more the pass rushing guy whenever they need help with that aspect of it.
How about a healthy Eric Berry? He's probably not 100% yet, but he's probably not. That's another balloon that popped off, by the way.
Yep.
God, I flinched again. Jeez, those kids over there are just having a field day.
They got it in the corner over there.
Thankfully, they're just standing right next to us. Just about. So, a healthy Eric Berry. I don't know if he's going 100% yet or if he's, put himself through all the paces yet, but your observations so far.
I would say with Eric that I would say from what I see, if I was trying to do a rough estimate, I'd say he's 75, 80%.
Okay.
He's not the closing speed he's still working on, and that's not his fault. It's just a matter of him being out there and giving it time and just training back into that. In some Achilles injuries, they never fully regain that same burst that they had. So that's something that's going to be interesting to watch come October, November, because that's normally when guys with Achilles have been out of here. That's normally the time when they start to kind of get back to truly who they were. But Eric's about as close as you could hope at this time of the year.
Some of the young defensive backs the Chiefs are going to have to count on this year to kind of step up. Tre'Mon Smith, I'm excited about him, and I saw him absolutely light up Kareem Hunt in the full pad take to the ground drill. Yeah. He lit up Kareem Hunt.
That's one play.
Yeah. I don't want to make anything out of
it. But he wanted to make that statement period, and that's all that matters. Keep making those statements. That's what I want to see.
Exactly. So I'm excited about him. He's a speedy guy. I'm also excited about Amari Watts. And here's the thing. When they drafted Amari Watts, I was kind of like, okay, I read the scouting reports, and I was like, all right. And then I looked at some of the numbers. I was like, okay, there's some good numbers there. Now that I've seen him on the field, Armani Watts, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter next to Eric Berry, but I'm saying he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he's the biggest thing when I was watching his college tape coming out is how explosive he is and how quickly he closes and how if he has a nose for the ball and is able to see it, just how quickly he can jump routes that you don't even see him from probably 5-6 yards away, and just the burst that he has to close on that. That's going to be one of his biggest assets. The biggest thing was tackling. I know that was the knock on him coming out of college is how well he could tackle. That's something that he's definitely going to have to continue to work on at the NFL level. But from a speed perspective, he's what they needed last year at safety.
Final question for you. New offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy.
My favorite.
I love Eric Bieniemy. I've only got about a minute left here. Do you think he'll be calling the plays, or will he call a certain percentage of plays? How will this work with Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid?
I still personally, from my vantage point, I think it's going to be a collaboration to where during the week I think they're going to collaborate together, and I think Andy and Bieniemy will work together on that aspect of it during game days and try to work until they feel at some point that Bieniemy's got it down. Because I know in the past they've had it to where Nagy, Childress was up top at times, and then Nagy was down on the field calling into the headset. and Andy was kind of helping go through what they wanted to work with. So I think it's a good training program for an offensive coordinator to do that aspect, to let them get the verbiage right and to do that, all that.
All right, we are out of time for this hour. Nick Jacobs, thank you very much. 41 Action News. Check out the podcast, 4th and 1. Thank you very much. Good to see you again.
My pleasure, Brad.
All right, a quick timeout. When we come back, Josh Looney, the AD from Missouri Western. We'll talk about the long-term future of the Chiefs here in St. Joe. You're listening to Sports Saturday, live from Chiefs Training Camp on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.